But looking at the clock, it's Wednesday. It's 3:35-ish. Joining us right now, the guy who will call a basketball game tonight in Blacksburg, where the Hokies men's basketball team is 3-0. More on that in a second. But John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, joining us, brought to you by Cowan Gates, as the Hokies have Georgia Tech this Saturday. Lazor, you've called some games right here in this building. There will be quite the emotion in the stew tonight. There was quite the different emotion in Lane Stadium on Saturday. You called it. You're the man who puts everything into words. How do you look back at what transpired on and off the field on Bud Foster Day?
Yeah, let me circle back to that in just a sec, Wes. I do want to say to the VCU fans down there today, it's a privilege for me to call Virginia Tech, but I'll be honest, I'd love to be at the Siegel Center tonight because that's going to be awesome.
It's going to be rabid.
I know. And there's nothing like a rabid Siegel Center. That should be fun for them tonight. It was fun for us on Saturday, Wes. Glad you could be a part of it. I was obviously honored to be a part of it. It worked out, I think, as I said at the end, better than maybe you could have scripted it. The Hokies, LPD, the defense played to a level that was reminiscent to many of a time long before I was here, when big hits and big plays would define the course of the game and really allow Tech to dominate. And it was fitting that they were able to do that to such a prolific offense in Wake Forest. I thought the Tech administration just did a phenomenal job of not going over the top with the ceremony and the pregame, but doing enough where it was emotional but wasn't impactful in a negative way to the Hokies' effort. And then at the end of the day, I just found myself being so happy because I have the memories of how Bud Foster first treated me when I got here, which was just in such a classy and graceful way, and the fact that he's been that way every day since. And obviously, I'm not telling anybody that's ever been around Bud anything that they don't know, but it felt good that that's the way that the day went. I said it repeatedly throughout the day. I know it's not at Bud that the Hokies were not able to get the job done in Coach Beamer's last home game against North Carolina back in 2015, and it was fun to see the smile on Coach Beamer's face at the end of the game when the Hokies got it done for Bud, and I think that probably meant more to him than it would have had they gotten it done back in 2015. So usually try to be somewhat eloquent, Wes, but all I've got for this one, it was purely awesome. It was one of the best days I've ever had in sports, for sure, and hopefully it was infinitely better than that for Bud because he deserves it.
And then on the field, those last two quarters, the most complete half, the most complete 30 minutes you've seen from this Virginia Tech team. Lays, it's clear that Hendon Hooker has brought a new element to this offense, and that part of that is the run game. And, Lays, it's not just him running the game, but running the ball. Saturday, we really started to finally see, and I say finally because you haven't had this offense totally together. It's been pieces here and there at times, but we're starting to see how diverse this offense and how diverse this run game can actually be.
Yeah, we're starting to see this offense healthy, and Hendon Hooker deserves some of the credit, rightfully so, for the type of player he is and the threat that he is with his legs at the defensive ends in particular, but the linebackers at times trying to set that edge after respect. But Brad Cornelison deserves a heck of a lot of credit, too, for one, changing this offense on the fly in the middle of the season, but two, staying the course, recognizing once he had the pieces in place, namely the guys coming back, Damon Hazelton, Trey Turner, and also some of his offensive linemen, that he was going to be able to do some of these things. And you see it in different ways. It was completely different with a different quarterback against Notre Dame. It was completely different from half to half, North Carolina half one to half two, and then into overtime. And then you see it all kind of come together at times in that Wake Forest game, because make no mistake about it, Virginia Tech dominated that game. I know turnovers are a part of the game and that's part of execution level, but you take away a couple of fumbles there on otherwise big plays for Virginia Tech, and they had the potential to win that football game by a lot more. And again, Brad Cornelison sometimes is maligned, as all offensive coordinators are, when it's not working. So I want to make sure he gets proper credit, because all the things that I just said personality wise about Bud Foster are also true of Brad.
Let me ask you about another part of the coaching staff. Jerry Kill was brought in to help Justin Fuente late September. What's the impact been on Fuente, on the staff, and namely Vance Weiss in that O-line?
Well, I don't think it's a schematic thing. I really don't. I think it's just another guy that has a lot of experience and commands respects that demands these guys be a bit tougher. And quite frankly, as Coach Fuente had said, they weren't tough through the first month of the season. I think you could probably go back to last season at times, too, on both sides of the ball. But the biggest thing is, I think Coach Kill has given Coach Fuente the confidence and a reassuring voice to go back to who he is. And Coach Fuente mentioned that, if you were listening or folks were listening to his Monday press conference, and again on Tech Talk Live, and said, I had gotten away from being myself. And I think it was a reminder to us, I've seen some of this unfold behind the scenes and had some conversations with him about it. These guys are human. So when guys start electing to leave the program and the transfer portal stuff happens, and sometimes some of the decisions that he had to make were of the harder variety in terms of guys that he just missed from the team last year, that eats at you. And it gets you at times, I think, to second guess some of those decisions, and even more times your own personality. And I think Coach Fuente would be honest in saying that maybe he lost some confidence in the way that he knew how to coach football and motivate young people. And I think Coach Kill has really given him the confidence by being there and being reassuring and saying, hey, I've been through some of these things myself in my lengthy coaching career. You're doing it right. Get back to doing it that way. And you've definitely seen the reversal back to the norm from previous years from Coach Fuente. And I, for one, have been glad to see it. It's been refreshing.
Yeah, that definitely perked up the ears hearing it the other night and hearing it the other afternoon when he said it. John Lazor is the voice of the Hokies. He's brought to you by Cowan Gates. One more on the field, and then we'll turn the page. I was going to say the addition, but the return of Tywan Garbutt. I know a lot has gone right on this defense, and I know that guys over time have matured and become better, but what a disruptive force he has been since he returned to this lineup.
Yeah, he continues to get better and better, and I think you're right. Addition would be the best word, because you really didn't have him at nearly 100% through the first month of the season. He was, of course, injured on the first defensive series against Boston College and never really got to get into the groove of the season. So you're starting to see him reach that potential, although he still has a long way to go, being just a sophomore, so that's certainly a boon. But again, Tywan echoes the same theme throughout the team, Wes, right now. When you're an ascending team this time of the year, it's because you're getting healthier rather than the other way. And if you walk through practice right now and you see Tywan and you see some of those guys, you can see that right now, knock on any piece of wood that you have throughout Hokie Nation, the Hokies are about as solid as they've been at any point in the last 3 years. Yes, you heard me right, 3 years, in terms of where they are. And I think that's why they got a lot of confidence, a lot of bounce in their step, and that certainly includes Tywan, because to use your words, Wes, absolutely he can be a disruptive force.
All right, the confidence word. So the Coastal remains in front of this team. They knock off a top 25 team, and because it was a big win, an emotional win, and Fuente was asked this question the other day, I'll ask you, any concern or anything in the back, at least in the back of your mind, about how this team handles success as they roll in to face a two-win Georgia Tech team?
I don't think it's a concern for me as to how Virginia Tech's going to approach this game. I think they're going to prepare. I know they have prepared through the week. I've been out to a couple of practices, and there's certainly a high energy level, and I think they'll acclimate themselves well. I think the concern comes in what Virginia found out last week, not that they didn't know it going into, is that this Georgia Tech team has gotten a lot better in a very short order, and that is a credit to Jeff Collins and what he's been able to go in and do. This is still a team that hasn't completely found its offensive identity, as you wouldn't expect it to at this point, 1 year or less than a year removed from changing scheme from the triple option. But they are capable of hurting you, particularly in the run game and then over the top, as again Virginia found out when you completely scheme to that. So it's going to be a big challenge for Virginia Tech to go on the road. It's going to be a physical game. This is still the same physical Georgia Tech defense, now playing that 4-2-5 rather than what they used to be up front. But at the same time, they've got guys that have been through the battles before and have seen a lot of this Virginia Tech team. And there are guys on this Georgia Tech team that quite frankly ran roughshod and remember doing so over Virginia Tech last year at Lane Stadium, one of, if not the most dispiriting games that I've ever been a part of. So it's not going to be a game. That's why you see the spread where it is, because at less than one score, people understand that this is not in any way, shape, or form going to be a cakewalk for Virginia Tech, and they are not taking that mindset into it.
No, they do have two wins, but Georgia Tech has been in the last four games into the fourth quarter, and they beat Miami in overtime. John Lazor will be on the call along with Mike Burnup. I'll get you started at 2 o'clock on Saturday from Atlanta. I know you have a basketball game tonight, so before I let you out the door, 3-0, first impressions of the new era of Virginia Tech men's basketball.
Well, we're not 3-0 yet. We got to win tonight, Wes.
Excuse me, 2-0.
USC Upstate. Well, we better be 3-0, quite frankly. We're not taking USC Upstate lightly because of what Evansville was able to do to Kentucky. And if you think Mike Young didn't use that as a message today during shoot around, you'd be wrong. So the Hokies will be keyed up. It's fun to watch this team, Wes. It really is, because there's really no defined roles outside of the fact that Landers Nolley is your alpha dog. And it's not like it was the last 3 years where you just knew it was Justin Robinson running the show. And at least for the last two, Nikhil Alexander was going to be your primary wing scorer. So it's fun. You never quite sure which freshman is going to grow and take steps and advance on a given night. So we've been enjoying it and really have been enjoying, of course, working with Coach Young and his staff too. So the next outing here tonight, and as is a new custom in the program, cold beverages after each and every game, which has been my personal custom now for 20 years.
You can hear the broadcast 96.1 FM. Hokies trying to go to 3-0 tonight, and then Lays and Mike Saturday in Atlanta. And by the way, I did hear Burnup lay down the stakes at the end of our broadcast Saturday, so no greasy spoons in Atlanta. No, I'm taking that as no Waffle House or no trips to the varsity.
Well, that's crap because he's the one who wanted to go to varsity anyway. In the morning, if he wants to have a T-bone, that's on him. I mean, we'll get one at some point in the PM, but I'm going to varsity.
You know me, man. You know my life motto. Besides the hair, I'm low maintenance, so I'm game for anything in Atlanta. I will be ready, and I will see you in some Delta terminal sometime on Friday, buddy.
Yes, you will. See you then.
And John Laser brought to you by Cowan Gates, there for you in any case. And thank you very much to Brandon Cowan and his entire team. I'll be telling you this more in the next couple weeks. Brandon Cowan helping my wife and I put together a trust for our daughter. Top-notch business, man. Trust Brandon Cowan. He's been a good friend and a great business associate for years. But seriously, if you have kids, if you're expecting children, these life decisions you got to make, including wills and trust. And we've had a will. We went to a trust, but seriously, Cowan Gates, they are there for you in any case. And thank you to Brandon Cowan. And thank you to John Laser.